Log Talk Radio.
And greetings and welcome to our weekly broadcast. The music in the background was music from the video of the Rivas Inkhorn, the Four Prayer Watches. And I know we're in for an awesome word of knowledge and wisdom from Prophetess Deborah M. Taylor, who is the author of the book, The Scribal Watchman. Good morning, Prophetess. Are you on?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Apostle Simmons.
Good morning. I am so excited. I'm not going to hold up because I know you have a lot of nuggets to give us. But the one thing I want to share, and I know it's going to fall in with what you have, because we've not spoken since I asked you if you would share your book and your knowledge with us. But I woke up this morning and I heard the Lord said, shift. And as I was inquiring more as far as shift, I began to write today's date. I just wrote it 1/30/16, and you know those numbers add up, and the number was 11. And I'm thinking, okay, God, it's going to be a shift. And he said, yes, it's going to be a shift of the mind, shift of position, a shift of location for some people. Some people are out of position and out of location. But he said that'll only happen after they have listened to what you have to share with us. Because if we look at the whole month, it's January, if we look at right up all the numbers, it's January the 30th, 2016. And those numbers add up to 13, which we know 13 is the revolt against divine law, revolt against the divine government, and we see that now. And he took me to Hosea 4 and 6, and I'm going to read from the NIV, and it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge.
Yes, I also
will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. I do believe after you have shared with us, after you have taught us and redirect us as to the role of the watchman, the role of a scribal watchman, and what other things the Lord has given you, then truly there will be a shift in our life. There will be a shift in our mindset. There will be a shift of us moving back toward God and away from our lustful eyes and our fleshly desires. So I will let you give the introductions and how we can get a copy of your book, and then I do have, I'll open the lines for questions. I just don't want anything to interrupt the flow that God has given you.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, my name is Deborah M. Taylor, as Apostle Simmons stated. We are the, along with my husband, we are co-founders of the Writers Inkhorn International, which is a website where we have, are rebranding it to include more resources for the body of Christ during these end times. I'm going to talk briefly about my book, but before I begin any of that, I want to just open with prayer.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we come before you. We bless your holy name. You're righteous. You're mighty. There is no other God besides you, God. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Lord, may I decrease and you increase. May you give me the opportunity to speak into the lives of the listeners, those that have ears to hear and a heart cleansed with repentance. What is about to take place in the nation? What is about to take place in our world? What we must do to position ourselves to hear you more clearly? Father, this is not an hour to straddle the fence. We must determine which side we will be on. We must determine who we are in this hour, and we must position ourselves, God, to accommodate your will for your people and for those who are lost. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We bless your holy name, God, for you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy to be praised.
Yeah.
Amen. The Scribal Watchman is a book that God put in my spirit back in 2005. But it took time to actually manifest because of the things that God took me through in order to establish me as a Scribal Watchman to be able to manifest what he's saying in the written form. The Scribal Watchman is, the full title is The Scribal Watchman, How to Hear, Watch, Write, and Release the Voice of God to the Nations. The Scribal Watchman is comprised of three specific areas in the body of Christ. They're the watchman, the prophet, and the scribe. And when God began to deal with me as far as the Scribal Watchman, I had been journaling every morning. That was my quality time with him. But as I journaled my thoughts, my prayers for other people, he began to speak to me, and he began to release things about different areas and different cities, people in general. And then as he released it, I would stop what I was doing, write immediately what he said. And then it started becoming clearer and clearer. He started confirming his word. And it got to the point where it was troubling me because I was like, you're giving me these words, God. What do I do with them? What do I do with these words you've given me? Because I know that you guys have given it to me in my private time just for me. So he led me to a site, Lit Forever, and I blessed the moderator of that site. And she began to recognize that, I'm going to put her along with the prophets. So my words began to reach more and more people. And then in 2009, we established our website, The Writer's Inkhorn. But the Scribal Watchman is unique in the fact that it does not just tell you how to hear the voice of God, but it uses your learning style. God gives each of us a specific learning style, our primary learning style. Some are seers, some are hearers, some actually have to go through the process by doing it. But inside the book, it has a questionnaire, very short questionnaire, to try to give you some guidance to where you are as far as your learning style. And this is not to put anyone in a box, first of all, let me say that, because although you may be primarily a hearer, he can use you as a seer. you may be primarily a seer, but he can actually allow you to do or go through the process itself. But there is a learning style that you have as an individual that stands out above all the rest. For me, I always thought I heard God because I was journaling, and then he would interrupt my thoughts. So I thought, oh, I hear God. When in reality, I was a seer. Because as I'm journaling, I'm writing the words. And he just happened to interrupt my writing to manifest his voice to me. So that's what I thought with that. Within this book, it talks about the two scribal tribes. It talks about the spirits that war against the scribal watchmen. And it goes a little bit more to each of the learning styles. So I don't want to go too much into the book, but it's available on Amazon. You can go through our website, through Barnes & Noble, because I want to get to the meat of what we are really here for. We want to learn about the role of the watchman.
Yes.
So in order to do that, I want to give some background information first, and then we'll delve a little bit more into Ezekiel's role as a watchman, because he stands out in the Bible as the primary watchman, although there were others like Habakkuk and Isaiah in his own way was a watchman. And all the prophets, most prophets are watchmen, but not all watchmen are prophets. Most seers are watchmen, but not all watchmen are seers. So I want to say that.
Can you repeat that, please?
Most prophets are watchmen, but not all watchmen are prophets. And what I mean by that is we have meteorologists. They watch for the weather, but they're not necessarily prophets. But most prophets should be watching. They should be watching to hear and see the word of God that they have spoken from his mouth manifest. You should be watching to see the lives of people changed and transformed and come into alignment with what God is doing. Most watchmen are seers, but not all seers are watchmen. And what I mean by that is they're demonic seers that see, but they're not necessarily watching. But the people of God, the true people of God, the ones that are called by God, most watchmen are seers. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. They see. They see because they're standing there waiting for God to show them. They're standing and listening for God to speak to them. They're waiting for God, so they're seeing. And what I mean by watchmen, because God uses the seer gift in the watchman, because most watchmen tend to see. They tend to have high-level dreams. And what I mean by having a high-level dream is not someone who just says, oh, I had this dream about such and such last night, or I had a dream about this. That does not make you a watchman. It does not make you a seer. It just means you had a dream, and that God can use your dreams to be manifested in the earth. But those that, when I say high level, these are ones that have 2 to 3 dreams a night or most nights on a consistent basis. That means they may have throughout a 7-week period, they're going to have multiple dreams over and over and over again, 2 to 3. Like, for example, I had a dream about a tornado one night, and then I saw it coming. I knew it was coming, and I could feel the atmosphere shift. And then I got up, and I went back to sleep, and the dream continued. And then I found myself in the middle of this tornado, and I'm seeing this man reaching out with his hands bound in this white rope. And he's reaching out to me and crying out to me to help him, but he's doing it silently. And I'm like, God, what is that about? And I'm like, and I heard the word greedy. And I'm like, God, I do not want to be a part of that. I do not want to be a part of that. We are in the end times. And what God was showing me was that there's somebody that in my environment that is bound and that they need my help, but they are greedy. And there was going to be a lot of chaos. So he put me in the middle of that, showing me that I'm going to be in the middle of some chaos. And this person is bound, and he wants you to help him, but his purpose and the intent of his him wanting you to help him is for greed, for his own purpose. So God did that, and he gave me multiple dreams like that, sometimes on a consistent basis. So that's the difference between a seer. They have high-level dreams. Having said that, Ezekiel, his name means my God strengthen or toughen. May God strengthen, or toughen. When we go to the book of Ezekiel, the first chapter, we see in verse 1 that Ezekiel was among the captives by the river Shebar, that the heavens were opened and he saw visions of God. There are three things within this first statement. First, he was among the captives. In 2 Kings 24:14 through 16 tells a story about how the king was captured along with 10,000 people. 8,000 were soldiers of nobility, and Ezekiel was among this group of captives. That means he was taken away from what he was familiar with. The river of Shebar, or Shebar, that means, to me, it demonstrates most prophets tend to be along bodies of water. Ezekiel was one around a body of water. When he was told about the bird that came to feed him, Christ was being baptized when the heavens were opened to him.
Yes.
So there are stories in the Bible that show how prophets tend to be around bodies of water. Again, in this verse, it talks about how the heavens were opened. This is an invitation to see God's glory. God was inviting Ezekiel to see his glory. He saw visions of God. When there are visions of God, that means the visions of God are often initiated and performed by God and not some demonic influence. This is what distinguishes true prophets from those that are delving into the demonic realm. There were visions. The visions were open to him as he was along this body of water. He was in a time of trouble, but yet God was manifesting and showing him that he was about to do something special in his life. In Ezekiel 2, and it goes on, and when he goes into the vision, God shows him another realm. So to keep from going into that story, I'm just going to move on to Ezekiel 2. This is just a little bit of the background. In Ezekiel 2, verse 3, he was told his assignment. He said, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against God. They and their fathers have transgressed against God to this day. So in other words, the children of Israel had a history of being rebellious toward God. But God, in his mercy and his grace, he still was going to send someone to try to speak to this rebellious nation. In verse 4, it says, they are impudent and stubborn children. Well, he said, I want you to say, thus says the Lord. People of God, if you are not a true prophet and God is not speaking to you, under no circumstance should you say, thus said the Lord. When you do that, you move out of order. If God didn't say it, don't speak it prematurely. Don't be pressured because you feel a need to say something that God has not said, because then you're moving out of your flesh. Verse 5, he says, Ezekiel, whether they hear you or whether they refuse, because I'm going to tell you again, they rebellious. Rebellious meaning when God tells them to go right, they go left. But yet they would know that a prophet is among them. Whether they hear you or whether they refuse, they're going to know that a prophet has been among them. Going back a little bit, Ezekiel was captured because he was a person of nobility. And I'm going to go to the probably a little bit later talk about the verse. But Ezekiel was not just a man. He was a man of God. He was a priest. Now he's saying, they're going to know you're a prophet. So most watchmen are prophets, but not all prophets are watchmen. And I want to recap. In verse 1, he talks about how he's a captive. A captive is someone who's going to be a servant. He was a priest. He was aware of God's protocols. He knew the presence of God. He knew when God came, he knew how to align things according to what God wanted. He was a prophet. He was a seer. He had visions in verse 1. He was given a call. The call was the invitation when the heavens opened up. His assignment was to the rebellious children of Israel. I'm assigned to the rebellious children of America. God help me here. Verse 6, he goes on to say, but you know what? Don't be afraid of them or their words. Although you're among briars and thorns, and you dwell among scorpions, scorpions sting. And don't even be dismayed by their looks, because, again, he emphasized over and over again, they're rebellious. So God tells them, don't even be afraid of them. Don't even think about what they're going to say. And don't even think about how they're going to look. Verse 8, he tells them, you need to hear what God has said to him. He was told again, don't be rebellious like the rebellion, like he specifically says that. This is New King James, like that rebellious house. He's making a distinction because he knew that when you're called to be a watchman, it's not like, oh, God gave me a word, hallelujah, here you go. No, because there's times where you just don't want to tell people anything. But he says, I don't want Amen. You to be rebellious like that. He must open his mouth and then eat what he was given. If you go to Psalm 81, 10, verse 10, it says in that verse, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. He's telling him, I'm getting ready to give you something. God is getting ready to give him a message, and he told him to eat it, which meant he needed to digest it internally. In verse 9, he sees a vision of a hand stretched out unto him. Again, this hand is like an invitation. I got something for you. And in his hand was a scroll of a book. Scrolls could be very long, like the Dead Sea Scrolls were considered very long. And normally, scrolls were written on only one side. However, through this commentary, it says later the papyrus scroll in ancient Egypt was written on both sides. So he's giving him this scroll. He sees this hand. He doesn't see a face. He just sees a hand, and in it, he has his scroll. Verse 10 said, then the man opens the scroll before him, and there was writing on the inside and outside. That means somebody from heaven was giving him this message, and it was written intensely. But the words that were written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. A lot of times, people believe that you're supposed to give people a message. You're going to be blessed. You're going to get a house. You're going to be married soon. You're going to have a nice family. Oh, you're going to have just the best of the best. You're going to get a promotion. But Ezekiel was given a hard word for the people of the children of Israel, this rebellious house, and it wasn't pretty. He didn't tell them, oh, this is what God is going to just you're gonna go through the season and everything's gonna be wonderful, and then it's gonna be hard for a little bit, but just hang in there. It's gonna be good. Now, don't get me wrong, watchmen can encourage, but the purpose of God when He calls a watchman is because He's telling rebellious people to turn, to turn. He's so gracious and merciful. He's saying this is about to come, and it's not going to be a good thing. His message was hard and full of sorrow. So for the people that don't want to hear the hard things, keep being comfortable. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen, because that watchman is still called to release that word, whether you receive it or whether you don't. He was told to eat in the third chapter, verse 1. Ezekiel was told to eat what he found. So he eats this scroll. Once he eats it, it says it was sweet to him. But then afterwards he was told, now you go and speak to the house of Israel. It was his commission. So he had to take what God had given him. When he gives you a word as a watchman, as a scribal watchman, there are ways you're either going to speak it, or in my case, I write it, because God has allowed me to use technology as a venue to reach multitudes of people. It doesn't have to be in America. It can be whosoever has an ear to hear. So he's told to eat, and then he's given his commission. Now go. In verse 10, he was told, now receive into your heart all my words that he's spoken to him, and hear with your ears. When you're given a word from God as a watchman, prophetic watchman, you have to first digest it. Digest it and eat it so that you, first of all, can guard that word and you understand it, and that you can interpret it properly back to whoever God has commissioned you to go to. It's not about just saying you have a word and not really taking to heart the message, because you can say a hard word and you can say it gently. You don't have to beat people down with it. You can say the same thing in the same way. And this is not to say take God's word and reinterpret it. It's just sometimes how you say it, how you present it. You can ask God, show me, how do I say that this is a hard word you want me to speak? How do you want me to present it? How do you want me to say it? And he'll tell you, I want you to write exactly what I told you. Or he'll tell you, you know, how to say it in a different way, or how to speak it in a different way. But at the same time, it's not in a way to dilute anything he has given.
Amen.
In verse 11, he says, that's when he's instructed to go to the captives, to the children of your people, he says, and speak to them. And again, he tells them to speak, thus says the Lord, whether they hear or whether they refuse. Verse 12, again, he is taken into a vision or a trance. And then I want to say in this particular verse, he was taken up into a transported into another dimension, because behind him he heard this thunderous voice, and it said, blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. So in this particular case, he's taken somewhere, and this realm that he's in is obviously a realm of God's glory, and he's hearing the worship of God saying, blessed is the glory of God from his place. And it's saying it in a loud voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place.
Yeah.
And Ezekiel, when he's transported into this other realm, he also hears the sound of winged creatures and the noise of the wheels from beside them. And he knows he's not on earth, because there's nothing on earth that is speaking or manifesting itself as winged angels or winged creatures, living creatures with wheels. Some people want to say that this is UFOs. It doesn't matter what it is. He was in a different realm. He was in the realm of God. In verse 17, he was told what he was called to be. Verse 17, I'm going to read it here. It says, again in the New King James Version, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them a warning from me," is what he says. This is, again, he's told he's a watchman. This is where we know Ezekiel was a priest, a prophet, and a watchman. He told, when you hear a word from God's mouth, he was told to warn. That was his responsibilities. When you hear a word from the mouth of God, you are instructed to warn. These are the people he must warn. He must warn the wicked in verse 18. He said in verse 18, "When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die," that means it's guaranteed, it's a done deal, that's a wrap, as Apostle Simmons would say, "and you give them no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." He's trying to get the wicked, to turn. But if he's telling you to tell them and you as a watchman refuse, that's okay. You don't have to tell them. They're going to die. But their blood will be on your hands. Verse 19 says, "Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity." But guess what, Ezekiel? You have delivered your soul. That is a serious, serious set of responsibilities. Can you imagine even among your family, there are different assignments God gives the watchman. They can be a watchman to their family. They can be a watchman to a local church. They can be a watchman to the body of Christ, to the nation, or to nations. But at the same time, when God tells you, even if you have a small realm, your family, and God shows you something, and you don't tell them, you do not warn them, they will die. But you will be responsible for that person by having blood on your hands. But if you tell them and they still go the way that they need to go, at least you have done your job, you have been obedient, you have not been rebellious, and you have delivered your soul. Verse 20, it says, again, "When a righteous man turns from his wickedness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand." If we go on, we will say this. God is saying this. There's a righteous man. When he has decided, oh, I no longer want to be righteous, I want to be like the world, I want to enjoy my empire and watch my cookie, and I want to enjoy my little, let the eyes of my gate, my eye gates and my ear gates listen to all kinds of perversion, because I am in the world and I need to understand what they're doing. He said, "You turn from your righteousness and you've committed iniquity. You want to hang out with the gossipers and the scorners and the scoffers and sit and laugh and talk about people and compete with your brothers and sisters in Christ and just do all kinds of things to degrade their name and defame their name. God says, it's okay, you turn from your righteousness. He's going to lay a stumbling block before you." And when I looked up that, it says the block is laying before a righteous man to expose him to danger. That stumbling block is not there to hurt you, but it's going to expose you because you have moved out of place. And he says, after he says, I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you didn't give him a warning. He shall die in his sins. But at the end of the day, if you don't tell him, that means you need to tell your righteous brothers and sisters when they are out of order as a watchman. But you must, let me go back a little bit, you must have the authority to speak into their lives. Sometimes you don't have the authority, but unless God specifically tells you to tell a person that is not right, don't get out of order. Because I, as a watchman, or I, as a scribe or watchman, cannot save the world. I am assigned to a specific sphere, a specific realm of people. I cannot go out of my boundaries, or I am out of order. That's why God specifically sent him to the house of Israel. He didn't send him to Pharaoh's house. He didn't send him to the children of Egypt. He didn't send him to the children of Jordan. He didn't send him to Iran. He didn't send him to Afghanistan. He sent him to the children of Israel. I'm sorry. Verse 21 says, nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man, and the righteous man should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also, you have delivered your soul. Sometimes, and here, I really appreciate how God is saying, you know, you can be righteous, and sometimes maybe out of just not knowing better, you're doing something out of order. And a person is saying, hey, you're not going in the right direction. You need to get back into the place of prayer. You need to get back on your post. And you say, you acknowledge it and you get back in place, you're going to live. You're going to live. And then not only that, that watchman that has told you will also live. But if you notice back in verse 19, he says, and he does not turn, the wicked doesn't turn away. He's going to die, but you're going to, but you will deliver your soul. So, in other words, the wicked have an opportunity to turn as well. But he didn't say he will live in the same way that he does the righteous man. That's just to make a little distinction. In verse 23, he says, and then he tells him again to arise and go out into the plain, and there he's going to talk to him. And then God continues on at the river of Shebar, and God shows Ezekiel other things, and he begins to manifest his career as a watchman. So the watchman is called, as his responsibilities is to warn. He needs to warn whether he wants to or not. He must digest the word of God into his heart. He must tell both the wicked and the righteous when they are out of order to get back into line. The wicked, if they don't turn, they're going to die, but their watchman has delivered his soul. If the righteous, they don't turn, and they're going to die just like the wicked will. But through the warnings of the watchman, he will have delivered, he will have saved, he will have done his job, and he will have prevented the blood of the people that he has been assigned to, or she has been assigned to he will deliver his soul from that and keep the blood from the people off his hands. And I think that is all I have right now, Apostle Simmons. And I don't know if you want to open it up or have any questions.
I am going to I'm going to open the line. I mean, you gave us truly lots and lots lots and lots of nuggets. And the one thing that stood out, well, there are several things that stood out, but one, and going back to your book, because that is the venue that God has given you to help people, is how to hear. Because truly you can't operate in any facet of life, especially if you're in Christ or you're trying to get a relationship with Christ, if you can't hear him. Oftentimes I've heard people say, I think God is saying this, but I'm not too sure I'm hearing him right. Well, to me, you can't release a word because you're not sure you're hearing from God. And then you need to set back and get before God so that you can distinctively hear his voice and know his voice, and making sure that voice that you do hear is God. Because
yes,
the enemy can
yes.
is so cunning that he will try to slip in. And if
yes.
we're not, you know, constantly checking ourselves, we can always walk in our self, thinking ourselves, thinking God is speaking to us, and it's truly ourself. It's our desire. It's our will, because we want to see things a certain way, and we've willed ourselves to believe what we're hearing is God, and truly it is just ourself. So I'm going to open the line right now. If you have questions, any comments, we're talking about the scribal watchman and the watchman and everything along what a watchman is, the role of a watchman, who is a watchman, how do you get to be a watchman? Do we have any questions or comments?
Praise the Lord, Apostle Simmons. This is Prophetess Diana Thornton.
Hello. Good morning.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My voice is a little bit under the weather. I want to say that what I heard of the message really blessed my soul, as well as gave me an answer to some things that I know that God has sent me as a watchman. But I've been really seeing some things and asking God, how do I release it and when do I release it and will it be receptive? And, oh, my God, it's really blessed my soul. I am hoping that the line was recorded so I can go back and hear it from the beginning, because I am very interested in gaining this tool. So bless the woman of God for that very inspiring message.
And, you know, Prophetess, what I found, I never, and when God birthed me, because it was something from birth, I remember, and he brought back to my remembrance when I gave my life to Christ, and I didn't understand some things that I was doing. And the one thing that I loved to do as a little child was to stand outside in the open and look at the stars and look at the sun and the clouds. And I used to see messages. And I always had that unction. I used to think as a kid just minding other people's business, telling them, you know, you need to not do this or you shouldn't go that way. But I didn't understand. And all of that, God was just training. He was just preparing. And so when I realized that I'm a watchman, I'm like, oh, my gosh, how amazing is that, that he would do things in our lives when we don't know and then bring revelation later. But, yes, you can go back and listen to the very beginning, because even the beginning, there was a lot of nuggets that Prophet Taylor gave us. And not that, and I would encourage you to get the book. It is, I read it in one sitting. It was just so full of information. Just really, it just blessed me. God bless you, Prophetess. Do we have any other questions or comments?
Well, Apostle Taylor, I mean, I'm sorry, Taylor. Apostle Simmons, I wanted to say something. I go back a little bit where you were talking about distinguishing between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy. The one way that you can really know how to distinguish between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy is in more than one way. First of all, you must know the word of God. You must hide that word in your heart, because then you become that living testimony. You become the word of God. And when someone presents something to you, whether you have your word of God with you or whether you don't, you know that that is not of God. Another way to hear God's voice is as you develop a relationship with him. You must find that time. I normally like to do early morning because it's like giving God 10% of my day. The first fruit of my day I give to God. And I spend that time, I enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise from Psalm 100. I start off with thanking him. I thank him first, and then I proceed with worship. And then I stop and I listen. I listen to hear what he has to say. Once I feel that I have accomplished that goal, you don't have to spend a lot of time doing this. It's just a matter as you do it consistently. You have to be consistent. He will. Sometimes he'll speak. Sometimes you won't hear anything, but his presence will be there, and he will serve as a guide. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. He will protect you from the dangers ahead. He will protect you from the strategies of the enemy on your job. He will give you insight into what's going on and how you need to prepare your day. If you're a business person, he'll give you strategies for how to move forward in your business and when to pull back. It's important that you establish a relationship and also to get into the Word of God so that you know, so that when the enemy is twisting the Word of God like he did Eve, you will say, uh-uh. I know my God, and I know his word, and I know that this voice is, that's being spoken from whoever, that this is not God. This is not God. So I think it's important to develop a relationship and to really know the word of God so that you can discern it, so that you can go into, if you're a part of a local church, you can even know when a man of God is speaking from the heart of the Father or if he's speaking from his own flesh.
Amen.
And in this season, we must know his voice. We must know it.
And, you know, one thing that I really enjoyed that you talked about was having that relationship with God and learning to wait on him. So can you elaborate on the wait process? If we're waiting and nothing happens, should we just assume that that God has just left or he's busy? Talk about the wait process, if you don't mind.
Okay. As you're after you've given his thanking him for the good and the bad, sometimes the bad is to make you stronger, and you've worshipped him. As you sit there and you just wait and you listen, sometimes when you first begin, you're probably going to get all kinds of thoughts that come through your mind. I need to get this. I need to go to get some gas in my car. I need to remember to take my umbrella. But try to push all that aside. And as you first start, you may have to think on a scripture. You may have to find a scripture that really helps you focus in on the Word of God. As you wait, you may have to, until you can steal your mind and steal your soul. God says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. As you be still, you know, you may start off a minute or two, or as you build that relationship and start waiting, you'll be able to increase that time of stillness. And so as you be still, you just sit and you don't allow yourself to go into a yoga meditation where you just empty yourself, because God is not wanting you to empty yourself. He's wanting you to be still, to listen, to hear his voice. And sometimes he may speak. Sometimes you just may, as you're closing your eyes, you may even feel like a presence has entered into the room. And that presence may just be there and just not saying anything. And it may just be God's way of saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. He just may show himself. And then it may come a time as you're being still where he may speak to you. And he may start sharing his heart with you. And that's the time when you really should have a journal. And a pen next to you, because I promise you, when he tells you something, you may not remember. But if you write it down right then and there, you'll remember it. And at that point, you can start writing down what he's saying. He may tell you how to go about your day. He may tell you to just be, he may give you two words. Sometimes he'll tell me, be careful. And then I know to be on alert, to look out for pending danger. And then when it manifests, I'll know how to, I often know how to handle myself in that situation. And then I can go back the next morning and say, your word was confirmed. So just being still. Going back to a scripture, you may have a scripture that is one, just like I said, be still. God, I'm being still. I'm being still so I can know you. I'm being still, God, so I can know you. I'm being still. Or you may use one that says, God, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Or it may be, God, you said, you know, your perfect peace passes all understanding. I have your peace. I have your peace. And then try to integrate times of just silence as you're saying this, so that when God presents himself or speaks to you, then you know. And then you don't have to spend a long time, but it's just that consistent time with God that he will begin to demonstrate his power and speak to you as a watchman, as his watchman. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. And the amazing thing is the consistency. He's always expecting you. It's just so amazing. If you're always consistent, say 2:30 in the morning is when I'm going to meet him. He's always waiting for you at 2:30.
Yes.
He is.
Yes.
He's such an awesome gentleman. And the other thing you mentioned, which is real important, and I think this is why we see such turmoil in the body of Christ, is not knowing your assignment and not knowing who you are assigned to. Because everyone is not assigned to the same group of people. And then you have to know, what is my assignment?
Yes,
so you,
exactly.
Can you elaborate on that, if you don't mind?
Yes. Your assignment is often birthed in prayer. As you're praying as a prophet or as a watchman in the making or as a scribe in the making, God will begin to show you things, dreams. You'll be assigned first to your family. All watchmen often start off at the bottom level with your people. That's why Ezekiel was called to, he was first a priest, so he was in the local church. So he'll assign you to your people, first of all, and then he'll move you up as you begin to be obedient and obedient to what he's told you to do. He'll move you to another level. Then he'll move you to the local body of Christ, because then as I went to this church, I knew this is a church I was supposed to join. And then God started giving me words to the pastor of the house. But I wasn't one that grabbed the mic and had to say, hey, I have a word, thus saith the Lord. No, I was respectful of that person's position. And he would often allow me to either, he would put that person before me and I was able to speak it to him, or he would tell me, write this and send it to him. And if he was receptive, then praise God. But if he wasn't, that my job was to do what God told me to do. So as you're in prayer, God will begin to birth your assignment, and he will tell you, because he told me before I went to the church, he gave me Ezekiel 12, I'm sending you to a rebellious house. And he would show me in dreams, this particular person is going to pull on you from a word from the Lord, but I want you to keep your mouth shut. Because some people will use the word that God has given you. If God did not assign you to that person and you release his word to that person, they'll take it and run and make it into a doctrine. And he never told you to speak to that person. That's not your assignment. So sometimes he'll tell you, be quiet, because you can feel people pulling. But if he didn't tell you to release anything to that person, then you need to be obedient to that. But the assignment overall is birthed through prayer. God calls. We don't call ourselves.
Yes. Do we have any more questions for Prophetess Deborah Taylor? Or any comments, anything that you would like to share, anything that you have experienced that you would like us to hear about? Well, if you want to hear more from Prophetess Deborah Taylor, she has a daily devotion that she sends out every day, Monday through Friday. And she has a monthly watchman. What is it called? Is it the Scribal Watch?
Scribal Watch, yes.
Scribal Watch. And I'll tell you, she's been on point every single time. She labors before the Lord to hear what the Lord is saying for the upcoming month. And she only writes, and I'm not saying this because she's on the radio program. I'm saying this because I've watched God groom her. I've watched God elevate her. So I know when she releases, it is exactly what the Lord is saying, and she has always been on time. And that should be not a surprise, because if you're truly speaking what the Lord is telling you to speak, when he's telling you to speak it, it will always come to pass. So you can connect on Facebook to sign up with the newsletter. She is on Facebook as Deborah's Scribal Commanders.
Yeah.
She also have a conference coming up, and I'll let her tell you when it's coming up. She has the book, The Scribal Watchman, and you can visit her website. So, Prophetess Taylor, I'll let you tell us about your website, again, the book, if you don't mind, and how they can sign up for your newsletter.
Okay. The book is called The Scribal Watchman. You can get it through our website, Amazon, Book Locker, or Barnes & Noble, and I believe it's some other locations. Our website is The Writer's Inkhorn, where God is the writer and I am his inkhorn. TheWritersInkhorn.com is our website. You can go to their website and you can subscribe to Ezekiel's Mark is the daily newsletter. The Writer's, and also The Scribal Watch is our monthly newsletter. God has not really released to me to go more than what I'm doing right now, because he wants me to stay focused. That is my word for the next few months, is to be focused. But if you want to subscribe, you can go to our writersinkhorn.com website, and you can go there. I also post prophetic words as he leads me on that word site, that website. And basically, I am just so blessed and so honored by Apostle Simmons. She's my spiritual mom. She's my mentor. She has poured into me in so many ways, and I bless God for her and her ministry. And as far as the conference, we are securing our site. We are looking at the month of August. We have not set the dates until we solidify the conference site, first of all. And when we open it up, it'll be linked to our website, and you can go there and subscribe or register as well. We're looking for an exciting time this year. And back in January 2015, we talked about the different ways of how God hears, how he speaks to people. And so that's what we did in January 2015, because we want to prepare God's people for what was coming and the different ways that God speaks through the intercession to people, through the seer. And we had an awesome time. So we're looking for even more and increased word from the Lord in 2016.
God bless you. And the CD from that conference is also on her website. God
yes.
bless each and every one of you for calling in. God bless you, Prophetess Taylor.
God bless you.
Sharing. Until the next
yeah.
time.
God bless.
God bless. Thank you.